This is the Daily Perspective Podcast for Monday, May 3rd, 2021. Hi there, Mark Congleton here, your occasionally humble host for this daily dose of observation, insight, and absurdity. I hope you had a good weekend and all of yours, you and yours, you're all doing well. And that you're facing this Monday with a smile on your face, in spite of the absurdity and the insanity all around us. Because, doggone it, you gotta. You know what I mean? Because if you don't, they win. And you don't want them to win, do you? Of course not. It's a rainy Monday in our neighborhood. There was tornadoes, tornadic activity in our area last night. The whole thing is, I got to be honest with you, it's disheartening. And I mean, people in Tupelo, Mississippi they've been dealing with it since the daylight hit, and they've seen the destruction. It's bad there right now. And I hope and pray that things will get better for them as the day progresses. Tornado activity is horrible. It's tough to deal with. It's a kind of destruction that you just feel powerless around, because you are. I mean, from time to time that happens, and nature reminds us how big it is and how small we are. And it serves as a reminder that the arrogance of some people is just astounding, that they believe that mankind has an effect on this power. It's just incredible. Just something to think about as we start our Monday together. Remember the people of Tupelo. They had a tough night, a really tough night. And as the daylight dawns and they see the damage that was that occurred last night, today, it's going to be tough for them. So just remember those folks in your thoughts and prayers today. Also, there's a lot going on in the country we'll be talking about today. We've got some absurd things, we've got some ridiculous things, and we've got some almost prophetically scary things that are happening. And hopefully we'll have time to get to everything that's in the big old list of life that I have compiled over here on my word processor. And I've been opening the stories and looking at them and going, wow, just wow. And we'll get to as much of that as we can. Over the weekend, it was kind of it was one of those uneventful weekends. I got to be honest with you, I'm not moaning and complaining and griping here, but my back has been dealing me fits lately. And I just needed some time to be still. And I just decided to take it this weekend. And as a result, my back's a lot better. I had planned on getting out and mowing the weeds. I'm not kidding myself. The grass is struggling right now. It's the weeds that are thriving. And they're all out. The little flowers are up and they're waving. And my mower is under the cover. And let me look out the studio window. Yeah, it's raining like crazy now. And as a result, I won't be mowing today. I should have mowed yesterday. It looked like it was going to rain all day long, but it didn't. Anyway, but yesterday I still needed that time, that downtime. And I'm glad I took the downtime, because honestly, it's one of those situations where, oh, the dog bowl's empty. Let me give you some more water. And it just almost kills you. That was the kind of thing it was, where you get to that point where I'm not feeling so bad. And you drop your pencil and bend over to pick it up. And the next thing you know, you're gasping for air. And that's guys have that. They have that situation from time to time. And it happened to me over the weekend. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to go to the chiropractor. I don't want to go see anybody. I know what they're going to tell me, and I don't want to hear it. But hey, seems like everything is much, much better today. Other than that, what happened over the weekend? Not much. My wife, Jane, sweetest woman in the world, she went to a graduation, a college graduation on Saturday. There was a young man, an African-American young man, that she has been tutoring since he was in, I don't know, I guess junior high school, since he was a kid, and now he's graduated college. And she went to the graduation and the family party afterwards, and it was a big deal. And it was great to see Tyrone finally graduate from Talladega College. It was really good, really good stuff. Good news for him, good news for the family, and I know he's looking forward to a big future now with that college degree. And he's talking about going after a master's, and bless her heart, and Jane is just like, oh boy, a master's? I can't help him through that. We'll see how that pans out. Other than that, though, it was really an uneventful weekend. It just really was. It was one of those weekends where Jane stayed busy a lot. I tried not to be busy, and we just kind of crossed paths and said, did you get this done? Yes, I got that. Did you get this done? And that's kind of what our weekend was like, except for me and my times, my down times. And we didn't go anywhere really or do anything. Friday night, let's see, what was it Friday night? Friday night, yeah, Jane had to work late, so we didn't go and do fajitas like we usually do on Friday nights. We'll see. We'll see if we can get some fajitas in here pretty soon. But I want to tell you, boy, Jane has latched onto this pot roast recipe. Wow. I'm telling you. And I was just before we started here, I was thinking, oh yeah, there's leftovers for lunch today. So I'm already plotting. I'm plotting the roast beef sandwich, so to speak, for lunch today. And I hope there's enough left over to do that. Sometimes I'll get my taste buds all aligned and I'm all set up to go, and I'll find out that the last of it has gone to work with her for lunch. And that's okay too, I guess. Let's see. There's a lot to talk about today. Maxine Waters' idiocy is making life dangerous for cops. It was May Day on Saturday. May Day is a communist holiday, and Antifa celebrated. Things that make you go, we'll look at that. Senator John Kennedy has had something today to say about anti-police activists. We'll look into that. And we'll see how much time we have for other things. There is a story that I want to get to. There's two stories about China I want to get to today. So we'll see how things pan out, okay? I give myself an hour. I could take longer. I could take shorter. Some days I take shorter, but I very rarely go longer. It's just a thing. I've committed to an hour, and that's what I'm going to do. But sometimes, some days, there's more to talk about. I will shuffle things, and I'll get these China stories in. But first, before we go anywhere else to do anything else, I think it's important for us to take a look at what's happening in Washington, D.C. Now I gotta cut loose, cut loose. Yep. A new coronavirus policy. It has some of us wondering if yet another Footloose remake is underway. Come on, the latest slate of social distancing policies in Washington, D.C. announced Wednesday includes a ban on dancing at outdoor restaurants. The policy also forbids outdoor restaurants from having a dance floor, arcade games, dart boards, or any other outdoor game, and from hosting live music. The policies were put into place to help mitigate the spread of COVID-19 virus as the city is set to begin its first phase of reopening. The ban on dancing caught the attention of a lot of folks online. The city was soon fielding comparisons to the Calvinists and the small town featured in the 1984 movie Footloose, with one Twitter user tweeting, "Help us, Kevin Bacon." The guidance, which was authorized by the Alcoholic Beverage Regulation Administration's Alcoholic Beverage Control Board, also includes a flurry of other mandates, which must be followed, including the requirement that each alcohol purchase includes the sale of a prepared food order. All outdoor restaurants must close by midnight, and no live music can be performed for guests. Restaurants in Washington, D.C. have been closed, with the exception of takeout and delivery services. The newest set of policies announced by Major Muriel Bowser will allow outdoor dining service for the first time since the stay-at-home order went into effect in March. Indoor service still not allowed. This also encompasses things like weddings and other kinds of gatherings. So there will be no dancing. No dancing in D.C. None. Because, after all, it's all about the science, right? Well, What if the science disagrees with you? What if the science disagrees with the government? And by the government, I mean the CDC. What if the science, the actual science, so many people in the scientific community who have done studies, what if the studies, the results of these studies are saying this is not exactly so, and the government still insists on imposing these regulations on people? What about that? Well, I think that's what's happening right now, because you and I both have seen the studies. We've seen the reports. We understand that COVID is not exactly what they're claiming it is, and yet it is being enforced. These regulations are being enforced in an amazing way. You know, early this morning, let me see, hang on here. Let me go back over here. Let me pull this page up. And it's I like to post these little updates. It's testing your knowledge of public policy from the folks at justfacts.com. Now, they ask a question every day. They post a question to social media, and usually I get it right. Usually I do. Sometimes I get it wrong, the answer that is. The question today is, which of the following respiratory diseases were involved in the most deaths of United States children during 2020? Which of the following respiratory diseases were involved in the most deaths of U.S. children in 2020? Was it A, COVID-19? Was it B, influenza? Or was it C, pneumonia? Your choices again, COVID-19, influenza, and pneumonia. If you answered pneumonia, ding, 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 you're right. The death certificate data from the CDC shows that 33,956 children up through the age of 17 died in the U.S. during 2020. Among them, 178 involved influenza, 193 involved COVID-19, and the number involving pneumonia was 607. In total, deaths involving COVID-19 compromised 0.6% of all U.S. fatalities in the year 2020. 607 children died of pneumonia, 193 from COVID-19. And yet, we have politicians, even as we speak right now, pushing legislation in various states, forcing children to mask. We have airlines imposing policies on their customers that children over 2 must mask. We have families being thrown off of airline flights because they can't keep masks on their children, their 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds. This is happening even as we speak. And yet, the data shows that COVID-19 isn't a threat to these little ones. Not nearly to the degree it is to adults. And it isn't a threat to adults to the degree that the fearmongers would have you believe. And yet, we see this data. More than 3 times as many children died from pneumonia-involved illnesses than did COVID. And what's happening? We're being told that we must protect these children and we must mask them up, regardless of what the science is actually saying. Yes. The politicians are hoping we aren't paying attention. Thankfully, you and I are paying attention. And I suggest that we all pay even closer attention and that we get our lives back and do what we can to put things back to normal again. But they're not going to do it for us. We'll have to do it ourselves. Florida is setting a good example. The rest of the states should follow suit. And whatever you do, don't listen to what anyone coming out of Washington, D.C. or the mainstream press is telling you. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast for Monday, the 3rd day of May, 2020. Scanning social media during the break, and I ran across a story from Drive Tribe. It's a British, they're based in the UK, and it's cars. And if you've listened to me for a while, you know it. I'm kind of into cars, and kind of. Yeah, that's why I've got that ancient Miata up on jack stands in the garage, waiting for me to pull the transmission. But the tease on this thing on Facebook says, watch, Toyota gives us a sneak preview of its hydrogen-powered engine sound. I'm intrigued. I must know. A hydrogen-powered engine? I have said for a while that I have thought that electric motors, electric cars, this was a mistake. The reason being that if you really do care about the environment, then you care about how electricity is generated. Because electricity, a lot of electricity, is generated by coal power plants. So if you care about the environment, like you say you do, then why do you want us to power our cars with something produced by something even dirtier than burning fossil fuels, by burning petroleum products? Why? Why do you want that? Wouldn't you want something cleaner? Hydrogen. Hydrogen is a much cleaner option. Zero emissions, high efficiency. You still have electric drive. You have very little noise. You can drive further on hydrogen. You can fuel faster on hydrogen. You can put it in all vehicle types. And it has a lower long-term infrastructure cost. Hydrogen fuel cells are a smarter idea, a much smarter idea. But the electricity people are trying to tell us, oh, hydrogen, dangerous, flammable, explosions, boo. Guess what? You have the same issues with batteries. But they're not telling you that. And this is, I want to play this because I just want to hear it, right? Oh, yeah. That's the hydrogen fuel cell. Wow. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I got to tell you. And the guy who drove it says it's not as different as he has expected. It feels like a normal engine. I probably think that this is a normal engine if nobody told him any different. So that's pretty cool. So it's burning hydrogen. It's producing electricity. It's fueling cells. And you know what the emissions byproduct of hydrogen, burning hydrogen, is? Water. Yeah, you would think that would make more sense, but no, just no. It's kind of like listening to Maxine Waters talk. Does anything she says make any kind of sense unless you're a warped, twisted Marxist? No, it doesn't. For example, in June of 2018, Representative Maxine Waters, the Democrat from the LA area of California, publicly exhorted her supporters to harass cabinet members of the Trump administration. At an outdoor rally in Los Angeles, Maxine Waters, with microphone in hand and amplifiers nearby, shouted, "Let's make sure we show up wherever we have to show up. And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd and you push back on them and you tell them you're not welcome anymore, anywhere." Wow. So that's harsh. Do you not think that's harsh? I think that's harsh. It's very harsh, but that's the left. There is no tolerance. No tolerance. No tolerance at all. None. And I was thinking I had it, and I actually do. We want it!
ain't done now, we're going to insist on it. If you think we're rallying now, you ain't seen nothing yet. Already, you have members of your cabinet that are being booed out of restaurants. Who have protesters taking up at their house. Who saying no peace, no sleep. No peace, no sleep. And guess what? We're going to win this battle because while you try and quote the Bible, Jeff Sessions and others, you really don't know the Bible. God is on our side. On the side of the children. On the side of what's right. On the side of what's honorable. On the side of understanding that if we can't protect the children, we can't protect anybody. And so let's stay the course. Let's make sure we show up wherever we have to show up. And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
In response, President Donald Trump tweeted, Congresswoman Maxine Waters, an extraordinarily low IQ person, has become, together with Nancy Pelosi, the face of the Democrat Party. She has just called for harm to supporters, of which there are many, of the Make America Great Again movement. Be careful what you wish for, Max. Asked by a news anchor why America has such difficulty in making change when it comes to violence and injustice done to black people, Waters responded, the police, I think, really believe in some ways are led to believe that their greatest challenge and their greatest chore is to keep, you know, black people in their place. Really? The police? All of them? Not just racist white cops? And Waters meant now, today, not decades ago. She said police are, quote, led to believe that their greatest challenge is to keep black people in their place. Led to believe this by whom? Is it relevant that many of our major cities have or have had black police chiefs? Is it relevant that many big city police departments increasingly reflect the racial diversity of the communities they protect and serve? Is it relevant that an increasing percentage of the nation's sworn police officers are officers of color, including the police chief in Minneapolis where George Floyd died? According to the Washington Post, police departments across the country have become less overwhelmingly white since the 1990s, according to a study published by the Federal Bureau of Justice Statistics last fall. The agency's survey of police departments found that the share of non-white, non-Hispanic police fell from 78.5% in 1997 to 71.5% in 2016. Irresponsible attacks against the supposedly systemically racist police by politicians like Maxine Waters are in part responsible for the Ferguson effect, the phenomenon of cops pulling back from proactive policing for fear of accusations of engaging in systemic racism. In reaction to anti-police protests in Chicago in 2015, then-Mayor Rahm Emanuel said the city's police have gone fetal. Emanuel said, quote, we have allowed our police department to get fetal, and it's having a direct consequence. They have pulled back from the ability to interdict. They don't want to be a news story themselves. They don't want their career ended early, and it's having an impact. He later added, officers themselves are telling me about how the news over the last 15 months impacted their instincts. Do they stop or do they keep driving? When I stop here, is it going to be my career on the line? Meanwhile, in Los Angeles County, Waters' home base, homicides during the first 2 months of 2021 up 186% compared to 2020. 186%. When cops pull back from proactive policing, crime goes up. By teaching young blacks that cops hate them, why would a young black man comply when pulled over by a systemically racist cop? And this failure to comply can turn a traffic stop into something deadly. Waters' rhetoric has led to an increase in homicides in American cities, where the majority of the victims are the very people of color she claims to care so deeply about. Maxine Waters is a raving Marxist lunatic, and her rhetoric is getting black people killed. It is. And one thing that stands out to me in her rant a minute and 24 seconds of ranting and lying that I played for you previously. One of the things that stands out to me is that she says, God is on our side. Really? Maxine Waters clearly doesn't know God. If she did, she would know that God is not on anyone's side. He doesn't work that way. He doesn't have to be on your side or my side. The point is, we should be on his side. He doesn't pick sides. He establishes the rules. And we must abide by them. You conform to the way he designed and made things to work, and life is good. If you rebel against it, then you are in a constant struggle and life is not good. Maxine Waters is using God to pit people groups against one another, to justify the hate she is fanning the flames of in statements like she made in the recording I played for you. Maxine Waters, to put it simply, is not a good person. She is a leftist, Marxist manipulator of people. Gullible people who want to believe what she says because she's promising they're going to get something in return. In short, Maxine Waters is evil. She does not know God and has no place telling people anything about how to relate to Him. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast for a Monday, which just also happens to be the first Monday in May in the year 2021. Hang on here. I'm looking for something. Oh, there it is. All right. So I'm looking around. I'm actually during the break.
Equipment.
My girlfriend has...
During the break, I'm just verifying this is what I thought it was. I'm hearing this thing go by that you don't hear because the brakes are for me. They're not for you. But this plays. And I have to play it for you. I just have to play it for you.
Me a pet name.
I'm afraid to ask.
Hang on. Let me back this up so you can hear it from the beginning.
Northern Tool and Equipment.
My girlfriend has given me a pet name.
I'm afraid to ask.
Snuggle Muffin.
No, it isn't.
And she uses it in public.
Okay, so give your girlfriend a pet name she'll hate, like Thunder Chunky.
I couldn't do that.
I see. Too harsh for Snuggle Muffin. Okay. Drown her out with a 200-mile-per-hour cordless leaf blower.
Got it. Here she comes.
Hey, Snuggle Muffin. What are you doing, Snuggle? I'm so out of here.
Wait, come back, Thunder Chunky.
There's no problem a little horsepower can't solve. Northern Tool and Equipment.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry. I just love it. Thunder Chunky. Snuggle Muffin. Oh, my gosh. It is the Daily Perspective Podcast. It's good to have you along. Thanks for playing along today. It's the first Monday in May, and we've been talking about a lot, and we were talking about Maxine Waters and the way she inspires people to do the wrong thing. And we have another example of that happened in Portland, Oregon on May 1st. May 1st, a day that holds significance for communists and other far-left ideologues. A group of more than 100 individuals, many carrying shields, gathered in Shemansky Park between 9 and 10 p.m., and they marched to City Hall, where they began smashing windows and using spray paint to scrawl various messages on the building. Police officers declared a riot and ordered the crowd to disperse, but the mob instead began marching in the streets, blocking traffic and damaging private businesses. Some members of the crowd used umbrellas to obscure the crimes being committed. Most of the group wore all black, with coverings obscuring their faces, a tactic commonly employed by far-left anarcho-communist group Antifa. Known Antifa accounts were promoting the direct action event on social media prior to it happening, Additionally, people who have been arrested at previous riots in Portland and people who have been linked to Antifa were at the riot on May 1st. Meanwhile, a group near the Federal Immigration and Customs Enforcement Facility in South Portland swelled to over 60 people just before midnight. As officers tried to make an arrest, a man in the crowd pulled out a knife. The officers used munitions, prompting him to flee. He was soon caught and arrested. At least five people were arrested on charges including riot, criminal mischief, and disorderly conduct. One of the men was found to be carrying a hammer and a hand sling along with instructions for making a sling. Christopher Donnelly, who's been arrested at least four times at riots, was among those taken into custody. He was charged by federal prosecutors with civil disorder. The man's federal trial has been delayed twice by a judge, according to court records. It's currently scheduled to start on May 18th. Conditions of his release stipulated that he not commit any other crimes. Portland Police Chief Chuck Lovell said in a statement, "We appreciate those who engaged in their First Amendment rights this afternoon in a peaceful manner. Once again, under the cover of darkness, several dozen people decided to damage and destroy multiple businesses in our downtown areas, resulting in a riot. The situation became extremely dangerous when a man brandished a knife at officers when officers were simply doing their job. The officers appear to have exercised restraint and professionalism and safely apprehended this suspect. I am proud of all of our employees who worked to minimize further damage and arrest some of the criminals involved." In Seattle on May Day, police officers arrested 14 people for crimes ranging from property destruction to assault and reckless driving committed during violent demonstrations. Rioters threw bottles, rocks, paint-filled eggs, and other objects at officers and threw lit flares into the road, according to the Seattle Police Department. The department didn't identify anybody who was arrested, only giving their ages and the charges they face. Now, these are repeat offenders. These are felons. These are people who the legal system in the Marxist Northwest have been releasing back onto the streets again. They've been slapping them on the wrist and telling them to go be good kids and don't misbehave anymore. And they just go back out and misbehave some more because they know there is no consequence for what they do. And as I've said many times, without consequences, there is no enforcement of the law. You have to have consequences. And there should be severe consequence for doing what these people are doing. And you may be thinking, yeah, but it was just a few dozen people. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It could be hundreds or it could be dozens. When you break the law, you set examples for other people. And when you break the law without serious consequence, then you inspire other people to follow your example. And as a result, people are harmed. Police officers are hurt. Property is damaged. And some would say, oh, it's no big deal. You can clean that stuff up. It's just paint. Really? It's property. These places don't belong to the people who are doing these things to them. They don't have the right to touch these people, the property that doesn't belong to them. They don't have the right. Regardless of what your emotions may tell you, these people do not have the right to touch your property, my property, anyone's property. And one of the reasons this is important is because these people don't believe there should be personal property. These people don't believe that you should have the right of ownership of anything. And if you think I'm being extreme, you need to do your homework. You need to realize what the Marxists believe. Realize what the communists think should be. And you also need to realize that these same people, the same brain waves, the same mentality has been behind the murders of a million people a year. For a long time. They kill people who are inconvenient to their cause. You don't conform, you die. This is the mentality. They're never happy. They will never be satisfied. They will always want more power and more control. And people like Maxine Waters keep pouring gasoline on their fire. And Maxine Waters and people like her people like her and AOC and the others, the squad, those people, in a truly patriotic nation, they would never have been elected. And in a truly patriotic nation, they wouldn't last long if they managed to. And yet there they are. And still, with this kind of behavior going on and the evidence that these people really don't see any reason to stop, there are those who still want to defund the police. They want to blame all of the problems on the police. Well, Senator John Kennedy has a rather pithy message for police defunding activists. Call a junkie. The Republican from Louisiana, in an appearance on Fox News, said he doesn't accept, quote, "nor do I think most Americans accept that most cops are bad people or racist." But he said those who disagree and who think cops are racist, either deliberately or systemically, can seek help from sources without such moral taint. I've said it before, if you hate cops just because they're cops, feel free to call a criminal. Call a meth head the next time you get in trouble. Cops are necessary. If you support defunding the police, you have tested positive for stupid. And he's absolutely right. He also noted as part of a list of common sense propositions that most of the high-profile police killings of black men involved another common thread besides race. He says, number three, it's immeasurably foolish to resist arrest. It is going to end badly even if no one is hurt. People like Maxine Waters, fueling the fire of groups like Antifa, are encouraging people to believe that all cops are bad cops, and that cops are racist, and that cops are out hunting black people on the street. And that's a lie. It's an absolute lie. But that lie is resulting in people being harmed, people being seriously injured, and people dying. The reason that we have seen lately, well, the reason we've seen people being killed by cops on the news lately is because a lot of the news media is populated by these people of the same mentality as Maxine Waters and AOC and the rest. But the reason the events themselves are happening is because these people have been resisting arrest. They're fighting with cops. They're not going peacefully. You can even examine the George Floyd situation that way. That's what happened with George Floyd. He was resisting the cops the whole time. He wouldn't go sit in the car. He was talking nonstop. His mouth was constantly running. He was resisting. Yeah, I know they say, well, he was peaceful. Yeah, he was. But he was verbally resisting the entire time. Verbally. And then when they got the cuffs on him, tried to put him in the car, he was physically resisting them. And case after case, we see that people in that situation have been programmed by people like Maxine Waters and the rest of that group to believe that the cops are bad and the cops are out hunting them and that they must resist in order to survive. And the problem with resisting is that when you resist, you eventually have to fight. And when you fight, you're fighting with someone who is armed and trained. And if you cross a certain line in their training, and they, because they are trained to protect themselves and everybody around from harm, they will go into motion to stop the potential for harm. Not just to themselves, but to people who may be around. And we're watching this happen where crowds of people gang around with their cell phones and shoot video and scream at the cops. Well, all of those people with their cell phones screaming at the cops could also be hurt by this person who is resisting the police. That person has already demonstrated a lack of concern in a very vital area. And if that person is not concerned about doing harm, that person could do harm to anybody in the area at the time. And the police are going to protect those people as well as themselves. Because, frankly, They have families to go home to every night. Well, their training says put an end to the threat of violence and harm. Maxine Waters tells them to resist. Maxine Waters tells them to fight. And the cop's training says if somebody fights you, they pull a knife, they look like they're going to be dangerous or anything like that, you are duty bound to end the danger to yourself and those around you. And as a result, people resisting arrest are shot. And they're shot because people like Maxine Waters are fanning the flames of violence for political gain. It's filthy. It's evil. And it's happening every day in the streets of the United States of America.
Northern Tool Equipment.
It's the Daily Perspective. Final segment for Monday, May 3rd, 2021. I told you at the top of the podcast I wanted to tell you a couple of stories from China. So let's do that right now, shall we? And this is important because this kind of opens a window into an international news situation which is not getting really any attention. Communist China has murdered so many of its people. If you don't agree with the Chinese government, the Communist Party of China, then you are re-educated, and if you can't be re-educated, you disappear. And we know this from decades upon decades of stories coming out of China. Well, back in 2017, in a speech in January, Chinese leader Xi Jinping personally directed the communist regime to focus its efforts to control the global internet, not just the internet in China, but around the world, displacing the influential role of the United States, according to international government documents recently obtained by the folks over at the Epoch Times. Now, if you don't remember, the Epoch Times is a news organization which was founded to expose the Communist Chinese Party for what it is by It was founded by Chinese people who now live in the United States of America and other nations because they couldn't keep doing it in China. In this January 2017 speech, Xi said the power to control the internet had become the new focal point of China's national strategic contest. He singled out the United States as a rival force standing in the way of the regime's ambitions. The ultimate goal was for the Chinese Communist Party to control all content on the global internet, so the regime could wield what she described as discourse power over communications and discussions on the world stage. He articulated a vision of using technology to rule the internet to achieve total control over every part of the online ecosystem, over applications, content, quality, capital, manpower. His remarks were made at the fourth leadership meeting of the regime's top internet regulator, the Central Cyberspace Affairs Commission, in Beijing, on January 4th, 2017. And they were detailed in internal documents issued by the Liaoning provincial government in China's southeast. The statements confirm efforts made by Beijing in the past few years to promote its own authoritarian version of the internet as a model for the world. In another speech given in April 2016, detailed in an internal document by the Anshan City government in Liaoning province, Xi confidently proclaimed that in the struggle to control the internet, the CCP has transformed from playing passive defense to playing both attack and defense at the same time. Having successfully built the world's most sprawling and sophisticated online censorship and surveillance apparatus known as the Great Firewall, the CCP under Xi is turning outwards, championing a Chinese internet whose values run counter to the open model advocated by the West. Rather than prioritizing the free flow of information, the CCP's system centers on giving the state the ability to censor, spy on, and control internet data. There's more to the story. It'll be available today. You should be able to go get it right now at linkreport.us. The story will be there for you to check to find the rest of the story and to follow all of the links to other sources in the story. But that's enough to get you into the door so you understand what's happening on the world scene, on the internet, globally. That China sees itself as the new gatekeeper for information on the internet. It will censor everything. It will determine, this nation will determine what you get to find on the internet. There will be no more free expression. There will be no more freedom of speech on the internet. Anywhere, not just in the United States, not just in China, but anywhere, there will be no more free exchange of facts and truth. This is already a fact of life in China. It's already happening there. And they will make the same thing happen worldwide should they gain the power needed to do so. This is just one aspect of why it is so important not to play games with China, as the Biden administration is doing. The Biden administration is kicking the doors open. The Biden administration is smiling and bowing and playing nice with China. When what happens should be happening is that someone should put their foot down and say, not on my watch. The people of the world will not be managed and controlled by a communist empire. But that's not what's happening in Washington, D.C. today. Not at all. China's communist authorities are continuing their crackdown on Christianity by removing Bible apps and Christian WeChat public accounts as the new highly restrictive administrative measures on religious staff went into effect over the weekend. Father Francis Liu from the Chinese Christian Fellowship of Righteousness said in a tweet that some Christian WeChat accounts, including Gospel League and Life Quarterly, were no longer available online. This is according to this U.S.-based persecution watchdog, International Christian Concern. When someone tries to access those accounts, a message reads, "We received report that this account violates the Internet User Public Account Information Services Management Provisions, and its account has been blocked and suspended." Bible apps have also been removed from the App Store in China, and Bibles in hard copy are no longer available for sale online either. Bible apps can only be downloaded in China with the use of a VPN. And I've actually watched people online in their videos in China on a VPN accessing things which are illegal. So it can be done when using a VPN. But I suspect that eventually they'll find ways around that. Another sign of the ongoing crackdown is that bookstores owned by the state-sanctioned Three Self churches have increasingly been selling books that promote President Xi Jinping's thoughts and communist ideology. The ICC says even their WeChat accounts are turning into propaganda channels for CCP. On Saturday, new regulations on religion that China's State Administration for Religious Affairs released in February went into effect. The regulations, Article 16 under Chapter 3, states that Catholic bishops must be approved and ordained by the state-sanctioned Chinese Catholic Bishops Conference. According to the interpretation of the Union of Catholic Asian News, the regulations indirectly assert that the election of Catholic bishops will be done by the state-approved system under the Chinese Communist Party's direction, and the Vatican and Pope Francis will have no role in it. It runs contrary to the China-Vatican deal on the appointment of Catholic bishops signed in September of 2018. A 2018 China-Vatican agreement renewed last year permits the Chinese government to propose new bishops to the Vatican through its state-approved Chinese Patriotic Catholic Association, with the Pope having veto power on the decision. At the time of the signing, the Vatican said it hoped the deal would promote a unity among China's estimated 10 million to 12 million Catholics. And there's more. And there's much more, which I don't have time to pass along to you today. You just need to know that right now, inside China, people of faith are being shut down. They're being isolated from what they hold dear. Bible apps and social media where people can't gather publicly or gather privately in churches, they've been taking to social media online to keep reinforcing each other and encouraging other in the faith. And the government keeps finding ways to shut that down. Why is this important? Oh, that had never happened here. Yes, it would happen here. If certain people gain enough power and control, it most certainly would happen here. You need to do a little more digging, a little more behind-the-scenes work to find that many of the people in power in government today look at your faith, your Christianity, your religion, as a mental disorder. They believe that only ignorant, stupid people believe in a God. And they will do what they can to shut you out of the mainstream, to not be taken seriously, to be laughed out of meetings where you try to inform people that what they're trying to pass as far as legislation is concerned goes against the grain of your religious beliefs. They won't take you seriously. They won't accept anything you have to say because you're a member of a religious group, and members of religious groups have some sort of mental issues and can't be taken seriously. This attitude is already firmly entrenched in our government on the left. They talk about being devout in their faith. You've no doubt seen Joe Biden talking about being a devout Catholic, and yet he stands behind funding abortion with your tax dollars. He stands behind many things, and we know that he's been involved in certain business deals and relationships with foreign governments which go against the grain of just basic morality. And yet he proclaims that he is a devout Catholic. And there are bishops, there are priests, there are many people in leadership in the Catholic Church who say he should not be given communion as a result of his actions as opposed to his words. Well, he represents a lot of people in government who will smile at you and talk about their faith and then play God in their offices in Washington, D.C. with the lives of the American people. And you need to know that. So we see what's happening in China right now as the communist authorities are cracking down on Christianity by removing Bible apps and Christian WeChat public accounts. And just know it's going to happen here if we don't gain control and the government of the people, by the people, actually is by the people instead of the politicians who are playing games with our country. We have to wake up and take a stand. We have an election coming up in 2022. And I honestly don't think there has been a more important election. We saw what they did to win last year. We need to be aware of what they will do next year and overwhelm their efforts to get control back. That's it for today. God bless you. We'll see you next time on the next edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.